Now it started. Okay, go.
So we're here with Courtney.
Hi, I'm Courtney.
And I'm Annette.
And we are here with the National Coalition on School Diversity Conference.
It's October 20th, 2017.
Yeah.
And, okay, we're going to...
Oh, wait, and we're in New York.
Okay, yeah.
So, Annette, tell me about why you work in the school integration movement.
I think integration movement because I myself am a student. I think I saw the lack of equity on resources and just the lack of relationships and like restorative justice and teacher representation and all the 5 R's that Integrity talks about when I first went on an exchange trip with Bronx Letters, and at their school I saw that their community was so much stronger than the student community at my school, and I also saw that they didn't have a lot of resources as opposed to my school that did have a lot of resources. And it was honestly like, it was just baffling to me because we're all expected to take the same regions and the same state exams, but we're not giving the same equipment. And yeah, and like I got most interested in relationships because it's just interesting how students in different school settings will interact differently, and it's that's all based upon on what they're learning and what's being given to them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So wait, so what were these school exchanges? What was that like?
So I went on two. The first one I went was my junior year. And that was the first time I met Sarah and Bronx Letters kids, and it was the start of a project that we did for Respect for All Coalition thing in my school. And the first topic we decided to focus on was school integration, which I never knew about. It was actually a teacher who recommended that we focus on that topic, and we just got in touch with Sarah because she had an Integrate NYC for Me class at Bronx Letters. And we talked with each other, through Skype with the kids and with Sarah, and between the kids in her school and the kids in my school. And soon after a few months, we had the school exchange. And it was really fun. It was really fun to meet them, and they were very open to having us at their school and stuff like that. And Like I said, the first time I noticed was the first time that I realized how the lack of resources in other schools, because I've always gone to predominantly white schools. So I've always had a lot of resources in my schools. And I noticed that they didn't have a lot of resources. I also noticed that they had a stronger community. And perhaps it's because they were all going through the same experiences that they were able to connect with each other more deeply. As opposed to my school, nobody really talks to each other. It's a very competitive school. It's predominantly white. Like, as a Latina, I didn't feel like I could... there wasn't a lot of safe space in my school.
So how do you, like, when you're thinking about this other school that doesn't have the same resources that your school that did, because that you're in college now, how did you assess that? Like, how did you have the feeling that the kids at Bronx Letters had a tighter or more supportive, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but how did you get that feeling?
Like how I felt when I first initially saw it. Well, everything was kind of shocking. Once it was hard. It's hard to like pinpoint on one feeling because, like I said, it was the first time that I really got into integration and that I was exploring the topic at all. So I was sort of just taking it in as it went. It wasn't until later that I started to assess my feelings that I sort of was like, this is really messed up. And I never saw the effort, like I never thought that I should put effort into building stronger relationships in my school until I saw the community at their school. And I think that's what drove me to join the relationships committee and lead it eventually. The resource part, I just felt like it was just baffling. It was totally unfair. I was like frustrated because, like I said, we're all expected to take the same SAT and regions and stuff like this, yet we're not given the same resources. My school has 4 lab rooms, and theirs, I think they don't even have a lab room. They just have equipment that they bring into a classroom. And so that was, I mean, it's just not right. And then when I saw how much of a strong community they were, it kind of just made me, like, honestly, like, we were there for the first time and they treated us like friends, like we've been friends forever. Like, I didn't feel out of place, like, once when I went to their school. And it just made me want to have that at my school because I never thought that could be possible. Like, I thought everybody just hated each other in every school. Or not just hated, but, like, just they didn't have a strong relationship with, or, like, just the lack of respect within my school. I thought it was, like, a lack of respect in every school. I never experienced any differently. So it kind of just made me see that it was possible and made me work hard for something like that in my school.
Mm-hmm. And how are you carrying that work forward, like, as you're now in college, which is so exciting, yay!
Yeah, college, I'm a freshman. In college, I think, well, I continue to work with Integrate NYC, and I'm actually, like, on the leadership council now, which is fun, and I think just bringing more students into the youth council, like, I always talk to my friends in college or, like, in high school, because I still have friends in high school, like, to come to the meetings, which we're starting next week, and I think...
I love that you did a little plug.
Yeah.
Like, even right here, you're doing
week,
a little plug for the meeting.
Our first youth council meeting, CSI. I think, well, in college, just, like, I'm still trying to see what path I'm going to and stuff like that. And I'm still looking for resources where I could work on school integration. But yeah, I think at just college, I'm just looking into more resources that I could give to Integrate NYC and just learn more about it.
Mm-hmm. But it seems like you were telling me earlier that you do a lot of, like, that has really informed, like, the kind of person you want to be, right? And even if you're not specifically working on integration, how are these ideas shaped?
Well, Integrate NYC taught me that I want to work with young kids. So the youth council meetings, I love working with kids my age and younger kids because I think we're more open to the conversation on segregation and integration and what's really happening to us, and we're able to be more honest with each other and more willing to talk to people with different opinions. And, that is why, like, I'm currently majoring in philosophy and maybe Latino studies, because I want to be an immigration attorney to unaccompanied minors crossing the border and just representing them and hearing their stories and honoring their stories. It's just what I want to do, yeah.
That's good. All right, I think we're supposed to then switch it out, and she asked me the same question.
And tell me why you currently work in the school integration movement.
So when my kids were really little, we lived in a neighborhood that was really, well, it wasn't very diverse. We were, you know, the diversity, it was a largely Latino neighborhood, but a lot more white families and privileged families were moving in, and yet none of them were sending their kids to the local schools. So that kind of started us on this path of, like, what if we're going to be cool with the housing crisis, shouldn't we be cool with the schools, right? Like, what's our responsibility to our community if we've chosen to live here? And my kids are now in, like, middle school and high school, and they're one of small tiny handful of white kids and privileged kids in this school. And through that work, it just became so clear to me, right? Like you, when you see this just, like, sharp inequality, much less inequity, right? It's hard to put that down and walk away as if it's not there, right? And so what I do is work with parents, and particularly parents who have the choice to go send their kids to integrated schools, and parents who can choose to privilege segregate and send their kids to these, like, you know, privileged bubble schools. So my work is really to change up how that plays out and how parents are making decisions and what those choices end up looking like. Because you can't look away once you've
really
seen it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, once you went to that other, to the school in the Bronx, you're like, wait, really?
Yeah.
And we're all doing public education together. Why is it so different?
Completely. Can I ask, like, why you chose to work with parents? parents instead of like maybe like young kids. So like, you know, like we have like coaches and policy coaches and just like Sarah and Zaps who work with us. And they chose to work with, well, they work with adults too, but like you chose to work with parents, which I think is very brave because in my experience, parents have been the one who like do the most pushback on the integration movement.
I think that's why, right? Like parents have never been included. And, you know, parents are the one who, in particular, like, should we be bold here about white and or privileged parents are the ones who are the ones resisting integration, right? From the people who are throwing bottles at the Little Rock Nine and protesting busing and carrying horrible, scary signs to sitting on school boards and city zoning meetings and just quietly resisting in all of these background ways. Those are all parents.
Yeah.
Right? And parents are the ones who are making the choices. So you might be making a choice in high school, or you might have a greater say in high school, and in different cities it looks different, right? But I'm making the choice for your kindergarten.
Yeah.
Right? I'm making that because you don't ask your four-year-old. I mean, you shouldn't, right? So like, so parents are the ones who have the power. They're the ones making the choices. And then by the time my kid's in high school, he has all this inertia, right? Like he's been steeped in a system by ninth grade.
Yeah.
And so he, you know, he has friends who are making choices to go in certain places. So there's already like motion behind him. But I set that up as a parent. I set that motion up. So we try to find like the parents of four-year-olds and we try to get them before that inertia has started too much and really change the way we talk about parenting and race and school and class and what our relationship is as citizens, right?
I think even in high school, a lot of the parents have the most say. Like my high school experience, it was the parents who had the most say in what happens, at least within our school, and what was not necessarily taught, but what was brought into our school, you get me?
And are you talking more like in terms of the PTA?
Yeah.
Or just in other ways?
I think the PTA, because the PTA is the one who does the most funding in the school that I was. And so they get to decide what gets funded and what gets not.
Right.
You know, so cultural events where Hispanos Unidos or BSU, which is Black Student Union, those events that we made or that we organized, they were not always funded. There was a lot of pushback on some of our events actually. But other stuff that their own kids want to do, which they funded, you know, they raised the funds and they made events, hosted bake sales and stuff like that, and they were able to fund those events, but not other events. And our PTA is predominantly white, so, you know.
Who gets to choose, right? Yeah. Like, where does the power sit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, despite that, I do think the student voice is the most powerful voice, though, because...
Except when you're four.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, kindergartners just talk about the bathrooms
that's
or
true.
The lunches, like, only. Or recess.
I like that. I like the fact, like, talking to parents that are 4-year-olds and stuff. Like, I never thought about it. Like, I almost, like, always focus on high school because that was my experience.
Right.
And that's when I started to learn more about the integration movement. But it's true. It goes all the way back.
It does. And you guys haven't, you know, students haven't been included in this conversation.
Yeah.
And I think neither have parents. So I'm glad we're talking.
I'm glad too. Yeah, I was gonna say because, my parents, they had guidance from like we came here when I was in second grade.
Mm-hmm.
So I was 7 years old. So the school they put me in was just the school that most of their friends that were already here knew. But seeing the process with my little brother, he's currently like gonna go into middle school, and just seeing the process my mom is going through of like, the school that their zone school doesn't have a lot of resources and stuff like that, but the school that has like so she's thinking about sending him to a private school, and I'm like, no, mom, like, you know, like send him to a public school, like he's gonna learn more, because I also went to private school and I love public school more despite the fact that it was more segregated and stuff like that. Like, I think I just got to learn more because I was more open to things. yeah, so like seeing her like battle through that and how trying to guide her as well, because the school system is very complicated and it's very messed up and it's set up so that parents go a certain direction. So I think it's really important to talk about that and include parents in the conversations. So
and students.
I'm very happy you're doing that. Yeah, and the students, because we get the most affected by it. Which is crazy. The students haven't been in the conversation until recently because, you know, we're the ones affected most by it. And
You are. And it's a good closing. Are you sure you are finished recording?
I am.